In just the past few years, an increasing number of Americans have taken on part-time gigs or side hustles like driving for Uber or Lyft, and that's made it more common for disputes to come up related to whether the worker is an employee or independent contractor. Two major lawsuits aimed at distinguishing the differences have recently been settled. One involved Uber, while the other was with Knight-Swift Transportation Holdings. David Sherwin, Cornell Law professor and a research fellow with the Center for Labor and Employment Law at New York University School of Law, is with me to explain more about the issues. David, how much has the so-called gig economy era affected this, and how much was the issue between employee and independent contractor commonly talked about before?
The rise of independent contractors has been going on for several decades. The gig economy, you know, which is a thing, you know, which has a name, is the successor to just the concept of employees were now able to do a lot more on their own. So we really saw it with freelance computer people. You had the sort of the picture of the guy or the woman who was outrageously brilliant but didn't want to wear business clothes, wanted to wear shorts and a t-shirt, but could program computers or fix your computers better than anyone else, and they just wanted to bop into your place, do their work, and move on. And in their house, they had a whole computer setup. And that was a thing where we started seeing that, and more employees or more and more people wanted to do their own thing. And for many, many years, employers have often tried to have people be contractors to save the money. But it was sort of the tech world that pushed it, starting with the tech people. And now it's the Uber drivers. And along the way, we've also had the growth, you know, with Federal Express and other companies as they get bigger and bigger, managing so many people, running contractors was easier. But really, the gig economy has really moved it into mainstream.
You mentioned Uber. There's the Uber lawsuit that was settled. Also, a little closer to Arizona, when it comes to the Knight and Swift Transportation, once they merged, the settlement that they did too. When we think about whether it's $20 million in the Uber case or about $100 million in the other case, do businesses build it into the cost of doing business thinking we may face lawsuits on this, so let's sort of put aside a little bit?
Honestly, I don't know. It's difficult for me to imagine that employers who are startups are thinking one day we're going to get hit with a huge lawsuit, so let's save the money for a rainy day.
Okay.
I just think that. But, but when you have successful companies like Uber, the money's there. I do think that these companies either are sophisticated from the beginning or get more sophisticated and then get good legal advice. The problem with the independent contractor test is that it's never been clear. There's so many different factors, and we look at a totality of the circumstances. So I am sure that the very smart people who've advised Uber and the very smart people who invested in Uber and hired lawyers to do their due diligence, somebody said, the contractor issue could come back and bite them. And then the question was, are there the resources in case that happens?
So can both sides claim a victory then, sort of?
I don't think that the employer can claim a victory at all.
Okay.
The employer now has to deal with workers' comp, with people who are driving all the time. Not a victory. If the employer, it's one thing if they're saying, we should have paid you some money, but if you're accepting if someone's going to become an employee, paying the money out is a loss. Now you could say, well, the lawsuit would cost us so much more money, so we're not accepting liability, and so we're just going to pay it. Well, yeah, maybe that's better than spending all this money and losing, and at least you can figure out and come to some sort of agreement as to what things are, but you're better off if it never happened. So it's not a win.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if all the drivers become employees, that's a huge increase in costs. The only way it's a victory is if you can maintain status quo that the drivers or the people are still not employees, but you owed them some money because you needed to pay them because of some nuance.
Do settlements like this potentially hurt the reputation of a company more than just from a cash standpoint?
You know what? I don't think so. If you engage in something reprehensible, like sexual harassment, race discrimination, stuff that you look at people seeing, that's bad, that's just wrong, I think that really hurts the reputation of the company. When it comes to you messed up overtime or you mislabeled somebody as a contractor or not, I just don't think that people, that has a negative effect on public perception, because the tests are so confusing. And, you know, what we didn't say is this a win for the drivers? And for some drivers it is, because they want to be employees. But for some it's a loss.
David Sherwin is a law professor at Cornell and a research fellow at the Center for Labor and Employment Law at New York University's School of Law.